from Relay, this is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television that's moving rapidly into the past, because this is episode 117, the final episode recording May the 1st, 2026. I am, once again, your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell, and I am joined this time by Downstream editor and Sports Corner's own, Stephen Shapansky.
That is me, using the 1970s NCAA football closing notes. For all of you that wondered what that song was.
What it was.
That's what it was.
That is. Or as Julia always said, Sports Corner.
That's exactly it, Steph.
So, Stephen, thank you for joining me to push the boat out into the lake and set it on fire, as the Vikings didn't probably actually do, but they did.
Yeah, just like probably like Johnny Carson and Ned McMahon would just, I think, sat on chairs essentially in their last episode of The Tonight Show in 1992. Yeah. Sort of, this is the sort of thing that's going on here. Like,
Bette Midler is not here to sing a song.
True.
But yeah, I didn't want to be alone for my last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I also didn't want it to be like a regular episode. So I didn't want to waste anybody's time but yours, because you were wasting your time on every episode of Downstream, doing valuable things like editing the podcast and uploading it so it could actually come out. So thank you for making the show happen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was a listener to begin with. So, longtime listener, first time editor. And the transition nice. Into it was easy. It meant that I got all the subscriber episodes for free, essentially, because yeah. I got to listen to them. And then when they popped up my podcast, why is it only... Oh, right. That's right. It's only half of it. I already listened to the whole thing.
Listened to the whole thing. Yeah. That's right. Before we go, I wanted to say, first off, obviously, this podcast began as a vehicle for Julia Alexander, because I would hear her and read her stuff and think that she was really, so perceptive about this. And I felt like I had one of those moments of like, she would be good on a podcast, but I can tell she's never going to do a podcast on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, okay, could I make it happen? Could I be the person who pushes the buttons and does what is necessary so that she can just sort of show up every couple of weeks and talk and sort of spill her brain out into a podcast? I'm not the first person to do something like that. The last iteration of the TV Talk Machine, I definitely felt it was the same thing, which was like Tim Goodwin was never going to do it. But if I could get him on a schedule where more or less every week we would just sit down on a, Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon or whatever. And while our kids are coming home from school and the dogs are barking, and find a time to do that podcast. And I got Tim to, be able to share his thoughts and get his voice out there when it otherwise just wouldn't have happened. And there are other podcasts, obviously, over the history, especially a lot of early tech podcasts. It was very much the case where it was, one person, like Dan Benjamin did that a bunch, building a show around John Gruber or around John Siracusa or around Marco Arment. Like it's definitely a tried and true kind of thing. And that's where Downstream came from, is I literally thought Julia is really brilliant and it would be nice to get her brain out there. But as everybody knows, Julia got a job at Disney, working on, I don't know a lot of the details, but like she was working on what became the ESPN flagship launch, which is like ESPN Unlimited now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a great opportunity for her. And when that happened, I did really think maybe I should just turn off Downstream
mm-hmm.
right now. Right. I really gave it some serious thought, because it was really not meant to go without her. But I don't know. I kind of wanted to take a shot. And I thought, originally it was, I'm going to get some guests on and I'm going to see if there's a way that I can do this show that makes sense without Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did all those rotating guests, and you know this, and there were various levels of audio quality. And
when you work with non-professional podcasters, you just take what you get, basically,
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and I have seen it all in terms of, I always tell the story about, there's a one podcast I did where literally it was the middle of the summer and I got this recording from this person and it was, their air conditioner was on full blast, like a window unit, literally a foot away from their microphone. I'm like, What am I even supposed to do with this? It's always, it can be a challenge, and booking people who are not used to it. There is something great about a weekly or every other week thing where like everybody knows, okay, on this day at this time, we go to this place and we do this thing, and then we do it again 2 weeks from now or a week from now, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have rotating people or kind of random people, not only do you have to book them and schedule them and explain to them how it works, it's a lot. It's a lot. But then, in the end, I realized that I really like talking to Joe Dalian, and he knows a lot of stuff, especially about old TV. I mean, I say old TV because he's my age. So basically, our kind of old TV. You like old TV.
I do. I see Joe post a lot of stuff. Like he basically goes to YouTube to look for old stuff from the 80s like I do, basically.
He is a YouTube spelunker extraordinaire. Lots of game shows, especially talk shows, old sitcoms, old promos. Great stuff.
Yep.
So I love talking to Joe. I've read Joe's stuff for ages, and we talked about Joe's reporting on TV Talk Machine all the time. So it's so great to talk to him. And you know, in this post-Julia era of downstream, honestly, I think, and I'll talk about more about this later, I guess. I think the most interesting thing in the last couple of years has been sports stuff, because, you know, the peak TV era kind of ended. But the sports stuff just got weirder and weirder and higher stakes and all of those things. And so it was also really nice to bring Will Carroll on, who I've known a little bit, but, you know, I've been fortunate to have a connection with Will, and that was great, because Will, who goes back to the early days of Baseball Prospectus when I was reading his stuff,
right?
It was fun to talk to him. He has a lot of connections in the sports world, so that was also fun. Really, just the last thing I want to imply is that I'm shutting it down because it didn't work, me talking to Joe and Will, because I really, honestly, my favorite thing about the last year of doing Downstream was the hour I spent talking to Joe or Will, by far. The problem is the show's not very big. I mean, that's part of it. Like, if the show had four times the listeners, I'd probably still do it, right? Because we would make more money from ads, and we make more money from members, and it would be harder for me to deprioritize it. But it's not that big, and I have other projects that I'd like to work on. And when you're an independent content creator, opportunity cost is real, right? Like, me spending time in one place means I can't spend it in another place. And if I have stuff to work on somewhere else that I think is a better fit for my career and my knowledge base, I think that might be a better idea. And, you know, I've always been interested in TV stuff, and I still am. And there's probably a parallel universe somewhere where I'm a TV reporter or critic or something.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, it's not my area of specialty. It's just a kind of an area of interest. And staying up to speed without somebody like Julia, who is kind of completely bathed in it, is hard. And Joe's beat's a little different, which means that I felt like I could rely on Joe for some topics, but I also had to do a bunch of legwork of my own. And the truth is, you know, when it's tech stuff, I'm doing that all day, every day, because that's actually the core of my job. This is like a little side note. And I would have a moment where it's like 2 weeks had gone by and I would suddenly need to kind of grind through, like, okay, what happened in the last 2 weeks? Because it's just not in my wheelhouse, right? I'm interested, and things would cross the transom and I would read them and all that, but it's not the same as it being your actual beat.
No, it was one of the rare, I mean, you podcasted for many years and you're usually the host because, you know, you're usually the one of the most knowledgeable people on the podcast. So naturally you would act as host, be it The Uncomparable, be it this. And the early days of Relay, where you would just basically tee up Julia and she would go off, must have been like a nice experience for you to just sort of like, I am learning as I'm listening, basically, and just sort of being a moderator and letting other people sort of talk.
Yeah, uses another part of your brain. And like I said, that was my goal with that last iteration of TV Talk Machine, was I was really just there to get Tim to say stuff and talk. Like, I was really just a conduit. And that was always the intent here. And that's the other fact, right? Is I can't not be that role for this, cause I'm not the expert. I'm here to kind of like facilitate. And that made it, you know, that makes it difficult when I'm the one who's here every week. So, you know, when Julia was here, she sort of drove it. But me being in the driver's seat is not an ideal situation. And I worked hard and I tried my best, but like, it is a lot of time and a lot of effort. And, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not as satisfied with the output because I'm not the expert. And so if I have to drive it, you know, unless I invest, you know, enormous amounts of time that I'm never going to get back, it's going to still be kind of like scattershot in ways that I'm not satisfied by. So I'm, I, you know, we'll read some letters. People really seem to have enjoyed this podcast, and I'm glad, but you know, one of my challenges was I felt like it always could be better, but I had a very hard time justifying putting more time in to make it better as somebody who has a limited amount of time and I work for myself and I have a limited number of ways that I can make a living. So, but to get back to the thing that I kind of mentioned in passing about Peak TV, like we did a podcast, Stephen Hackett and I did a podcast at Relay called Download.
Mm-hmm.
Not downstream, Download, totally different.
Yep.
But that was like, we're going to do broader tech news topics every week. And, you know, we had enthusiasm going in and it was the worst time possible to do a broad tech topic show because every week became like the Facebook Chamber of Horrors.
Right.
And by the end, we shut it down. You know, it didn't have the, again, same story. It didn't have as big enough audience. Like if it had been four times the audience or something, we'd been like, okay, this is, there's something here, but we need to find a way. But like when it's not contributing massively to your making a living and the subject, look, I do a lot of podcasts where I don't make any money at all, but it's about things I love. Right.
Yep.
But you know, when you're talking about like another way that Facebook is making the world a worse place, it's just corrosive and awful. And it kind of kills your desire to even to have conversations about it. Cause you know, it's not being driven by enthusiasm at that point. And if it, you're also realizing that, you know, it's a lot of work and it's a grind and you're not really making money from it. So why are you doing it? It's not for fun and it's not for money. It's for what exactly?
Mm-hmm.
And so we shut that down. And downstream is not quite the same because I still do care about a lot of these topics, but Peak TV was something else. The streaming wars were really interesting. It was part of this, like, what's going to happen next in this era of experimentation and expansion? And now, and you know this because you edit it, you listen.
Yeah.
It's like billionaires buying out other billionaires, competing with other billionaires so that they can make David Zaslav a billionaire and kill a bunch of movies and kill a bunch of TV shows and introduce ad tiers, and Netflix will raise their prices every 9 months again and again, and studios are getting shut down and writers are on strike and then they're out of work. And the like, it's just really hard to find the fun in this era of TV. And I've heard from people who are like professional, like TV writers and stuff. And it's like, it's not fun for them. Surely yeah. Right now. But like the whole subject was like really interesting. It was like, whoa, we're entering a new world. Where's it going to go? And now, it's just, there's just a lot less of that. And it's a lot more about like corporate scheming and stuff getting shut down. And I don't know. It's not a fun topic like it was when we started downstream.
No,
I guess I would say.
No. I mean, both you and I were fans of UniWatch, the longtime blog about sports uniforms.
Oh yeah.
And Paul Lucas shut that down. I don't know how many years ago now, but basically he stopped because like he had lost the passion of it because it used to be about like uniforms and new designs and everything else. But now it's, you know, sponsor patches. Like basically that's all his thing would do. And all these NBA different uniforms would come out and they'd leak and they'd have to write about them on what new sponsor patch is on there. It just felt that, you know, it felt very corporate in a way. And the passion sort of went away for him. So he stopped
it. He clearly lost the passion. And it's not that passion couldn't be found, and it's not that other people couldn't be passionate about it, but like if you're the person who's driving the content and you lose the love of it, not only does it make it really hard for you to keep doing it, but I think the audience can tell. And with Paul Lucas, it's a great example because like he did a thing that was like, let's rate everybody's uniforms, and like the 15 teams that had ad patches on their uniforms were all just rated F.
Yeah.
And I wrote in and I said, look, I know you don't like ad patches, but what's the point of this article? Like, it felt like a troll on the audience. It's like, let's evaluate the quality of the baseball uniforms, except for half of them, which I'm just going to say are bad on principle. It's like, I as a content person, I was like, you are, that was the moment where I was like, I think he's done. I think he's cooked because I think he just hates it. Now, and he finally said, yeah, I admit it. I can't do this anymore. And he put somebody else, he put Phil Hecken in charge. And then there was, you know, that site's for sale now if anybody wants to buy it.
Yeah,
but you can't buy the archive because I assume, and this is just my speculation, I assume that somebody who owns photo rights came to them and said, all those photos you're using to illustrate 10 or 15 years of illustrating what uniforms look like, those are all actually owned by Getty Images or whatever.
Yeah.
And you owe us thousands and thousands of dollars, or you need to remove them all. And so he's selling a site, but with no content. It doesn't make any sense to me, but that is what it is. But yes, it's a very similar thing. I never felt like I got quite that burned out, but like I have been feeling it getting less and less fun every month for the last like couple of years. And this, I mean, we've been doing this since October 2021. So, you know, not quite 5 years, but 4.5. So a while. I have some letters from listeners, Stephen.
Oh, lovely. Hear some letters? I would love to hear some letters.
Got a lot of letters for some reason. I don't know why in the last couple of weeks.
Interesting. What will they say, I wonder?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're all just asking questions about why they can't stream a show on Netflix when they travel to another country or something.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
They're all asking when Doctor Who is coming back, probably.
Well, we know. Thanks to the streaming nonsense, it's almost impossible to find a co-production for the BBC now, you know?
Yeah.
I find that's one thing about the whole streaming universe changing so much is that shows that both, you know, Star Trek for you, mostly Doctor Who for both of us, but especially for me, both have very uncertain futures right now because of the streaming universe and finding enough money to make a television show that's been going on for decades now. And neither of them have a home right now. And it seems very weird and disappointing.
Really unsettled.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Conrad wrote in and said, "So sad to see the show is ending. I've been listening since this was a segment on Upgrade. It maybe will be again, Conrad. Look for Upstream. It's been a great part of my weekly podcast schedule. I'm in marketing and media, and it was always a valuable and entertaining lesson. Congratulations on the show, and excited to see what you do next." Thank you, Conrad. Yeah, Mike and I talk about... I realized there was a new Apple TV show that came out, and I'd never heard of it. And there was a time when Mike Hurley would be like, "Jason, some Apple TV news... they greenlit this show with these actors and stuff," and I'd be like, "Oh, well, that's interesting." And then, you know, a year and a half would pass and the show would come out, and there was a show that got trailed or announced or something for this summer, and I had literally no idea that it existed, that it was an Apple show, and that these relatively famous people were on it, because I guess we kind of let that go past us. So maybe some of that'll come back. I don't know.
I remember when Upstream, you know, started, that's when Apple TV had like three shows.
Yeah, it was easier then.
And no back catalog. So it's like, here's are our shows. You know, then they never, honestly, the slow but steady approach seems to have worked for them, because every show they have, more or less, is critically acclaimed or well watched. So I think it's just a natural segment you could just work back in into Downstream. Upgrade, rather. Yeah.
Upgrade, yeah. Yeah, up and down. I got a lot of up and downs going on in my life.
Sure.
Matt wrote in and said, "Thank you so much for a great podcast. It's been a great run. Looking forward to what's next." Thank you, Matt. John wrote in and said, "I'll miss the show and wish you all the best. Last week you mentioned wanting a hospital show based in space. There is a great book series that I would love to see adapted called Sector General by James White. Worth a read." So producers out there, check that out. And then the space hospital. There was also that show called Mercy Point that was on like UPN, but don't do that, because that was a flop. That failed.
I've never even heard of that one. So that's...
Yeah, Mercy Point. Yeah. Didn't make it to Canada, I guess. Daniel wrote in and said, "I'm heartbroken Downstream will end." Very kind. "I've genuinely enjoyed the conversations you've had with people who bring different expertise to the show, from the early days with Julia to later episodes about sports betting or where the broadcast world is going. Thanks for doing this show for as long as you have. Good luck with your forthcoming projects." Thank you, Daniel. Andrew said, "So sad to hear Downstream is ending. I've been listening since the show launched and have learned so much. I love being able to take what I heard to conversations with my friends and coworkers. Excited to see what comes next. From the 831, love to your mothers. P.S. Where did love to your mothers start? I'm curious about the origin story." Okay, Andrew.
Yes.
Back on the TV Talk Machine, which I did with Tim Goodman, but actually before that, on the TV Talk Machine that Tim did at the San Francisco Chronicle with Joe Garofoli and Benny Evangelista, which was one of my first couple of favorite podcasts ever.
Mm-hmm.
I would listen to it and laugh out loud like a crazy person at the bus stop coming home from my corporate job on my iPod. That's how long ago that old TV Talk Machine was.
Wow.
and they had letters. And a few things that they did. One is the letters would come in and they would always, Tim insisted that they say what area code they were from. So there was a lot of, in the Bay Area, you're telling like where you're if you're in the old five and dime, the 510, you're right. In the East Bay. And if you're in the city, you're in 415. And then there are other area codes for other parts. And then people, because it's a podcast, are listening. First, it started out as Bay Area people. And then it was sort of like Bay Area people who left. But they remember Tim and they subscribe to the Chronicles TV podcast. And then eventually, you know, as word spread and podcasts spread, you got people all over the world who would listen and they would send in their area code or their country code. Somebody took a picture of the logo at Ceausescu's grave in Romania, my single favorite podcast thing that's ever happened.
Wow.
A picture of the logo at Ceausescu's grave. Like, why? But it's great. It's amazing. It's like literally Ceausescu 1989 and then TV Talk Machine. Amazing.
Wow.
So that was it. And then as a part of that, there was an Irish letter writer. And in fact, he wasn't even a letter writer. He sent in audio files that they would play. So they're like audio letters. And he would conclude by saying, "Love to your mothers." And Tim just... it killed him. And Tim is Irish, right? He's American, but of Irish descent.
Right.
And I just think he was completely charmed by Love to Your Mothers. And it became a recurring thing. And so when we did the TV Talk Machine revival at The Incomparable, we brought that back with Say Your Area Code and Love to Your Mothers. And so when I did this, that was one of my tips of the cap to my previous TV podcast was area codes and Love to Your Mothers. So it goes way back. By the way, if you wanted to listen to people talk about old television, if you go to theincomparable.com/TVTM, not only is the whole third edition of the TVTM, third, I think, fourth, I don't even know what, that Tim and I did 250 episodes of, that's all there. But if you look in the little sidebar, there's an RSS feed there of the Chronicle episodes. So you can go back to 2010 or whatever, 2008, and listen to Tim and Joe do like Vladimir Putin impressions back when that was slightly funnier than it is now. Slightly funnier than now.
Yeah.
So that's the story there. And yes, it is true. There actually came a time where I realized that there's no way the Chronicle was not going to delete the entire run of the TV Talk Machine. I downloaded all the files, remade the RSS feed, and those are all hosted on the Incomparables. I just took them. Because I knew they were going to die. I wish I'd done that with the old Macworld podcast because those episodes are all gone.
Oh,
but I did save TVTM.
Missing media. This is tragic in this day and age.
I know. And Stephen, I think of you because Stephen and I, for those who don't know, like one of the things that I find great glee in the Doctor Who missing episodes, these missing episodes that are not there. And occasionally they turn up. Some of them turned up. Two of them turned up this year.
They did.
From the 60s that were lost and not seen since the 60s when they aired. And then suddenly there's a, you know, the proverbial car boot sale, and somebody's like, "I've got an episode of Doctor Who nobody's ever seen," and they card it out. So there are like three or four. Tim did a little interregnum TV Talk Machine after he left the Chronicle, but before I started working with him, and I think only like five of those eight are extant. The rest of them are missing episodes. So,
oh my god,
there's still hope. Stephen, get on the case.
I do. I will
podcasts
do my best.
Podcasts are fabulous.
Find the missing. So there'll be reel to reel recordings of these podcasts from the early 2010s that'll exist
somebody
in somebody's
basement.
Somebody
put their tape
basement.
Recorder up in front of the speaker on the iPod and pressed record and play and recorded.
How else
version.
Are you supposed to make a version of a podcast for your personal listening?
There's no way to know.
No.
So that's the Andrew. That is the origin story. And yes, I love. I will say one of the things that I love about talking to smart people about television and then disseminating knowledge about television in these podcasts is every now and then I hear somebody talking who thinks they know how television works. And I sit there and I'm just like, oh boy, wow. That's not it. Right.
No.
It's like, oh, I've come a long way talking to people who are smart and know about television. I understand it a lot better than I used to. And there's a lot of misinformation out there. So it's nice that we got to be a positive force to sort of spread actual information about how it works out in the world. I like that.
Yes. As someone who used to work in television for many years and received many, many layoff notices, as basically corporate buyouts would happen, I know about how that side of television works, let me tell you. Yeah. Now, I wasn't in the making of television. I was in the distribution of television. So it was, you know, it's an interesting experience. Oddly enough, I often think about this, but the I might have said this on this podcast before, but the rise of streaming basically began, the whole rise of digital media began because of a typhoon in Japan, which cleared out a massive tape factory that made HDCam SR tapes, which is the industry standard at the time, and suddenly realized no one had tapes anymore. What did we do? And suddenly that sort of like instantly sprung digital distribution into effect. Otherwise, we were shipping HD tapes all across the world. If it wasn't for an earthquake and a typhoon that destroyed a tape factory, the streaming revolution might have happened years after it actually did. Yeah.
You know, a lot of it is, there's a lot of inertia in the world, especially in terms of technological standards. And then what ends up happening is there's a break that happens, and that's the only way you can stop the, you know, the inertia, the whole like, well, why don't we just, it's easier just to not change than to change. I remember when Apple Pay came out, which was, I think, in like 2014, and for years, Americans had been hearing, you know, all of our friends from other countries would be like, why is it that they take our credit card away and go into the back and then all of that?
Why am I having to sign things? What is going on? Yeah.
And Apple Pay, the presence of Apple, and there had been, and I heard from them, all these people who are like, but I've had Tap to Pay on my Android phone for 3 years or whatever. It's like, yeah, but nobody cared. But when Apple did it, because it was Apple and because they made a big kind of like deal out of it, a lot of people were like, oh, we need to support that. And they got on board. And that really, like, it made the difference. It, as dumb as that is, because that technology was already there, that made part of the difference. And then COVID obviously was the final straw where, like, everybody wanted contactless everything. And at that point, they, you know, those terminals that predated the Apple Pay introduction, they were all kind of cleared out too. And because I think you're right. I think it's always a weird event that ends up being the catalyst. Because otherwise you stay, like, I remember when I changed the software I used to edit a podcast. I used to use GarageBand and I switched to Logic. And I had Logic for like 2 years before I switched, because I thought every time I sat down to edit, I thought I can do this edit in 40 minutes in GarageBand, or to learn Logic, it will take me 4 hours. And finally I did it. And yes, after several weeks of pain, it just started saving me time. And I earned all that time back, you know, a hundredfold, a thousandfold. But like, until you have that, I mean, it's very easy to just put it off because it's like, yeah, but it's working fine. Why would we change?
Yeah.
And then a typhoon destroys your tape supply and you're like, oh, I guess we should change that.
Yep.
Just need a reason.
Usually a usually a world disaster of some sort, but.
Yeah, I mean, it can be. William wrote in and said, been a listener since the beginning, sad to hear the podcast is ending, but understand how busy life gets. Before you go, could you give us a few podcasts that do as good a job of covering Hollywood as you did? Thank you. Hollywood, weird term. I don't know. Did we do that? I'm going to recommend The Town with Matt Bellany. I think that's, and Lucas Shaw. I think that's the best podcast about the entertainment business going right now.
I'm a regular listener to that one for basically since it started, I think actually.
You have any others? I don't listen to a lot of podcasts about this because again, I'm too busy listening to the podcasts that are the ones I do for fun or the ones that are in my, my area of expertise. And so I don't have a lot of recommendations here, but that's the one that is the easy one for me.
That's one of the ones that I've started to listen to now, mostly because it's British focused, but it's called the Insiders Podcast. There's two old British guys who worked and continue to work in the UK industry, but they talk about, like, you know, UK entertainment stuff and often it deals with broadcasting industry. There's a lot of BBC talk. So for my, you know, my Doctor Who world, that's the one I sort of go through. So I think
that's,
it's called TV Insiders, I want to say. I don't have any episodes in the queue because I listen to them all. So I don't actually know what the episodes are.
I will find a link to that. And then I'll throw in, speaking of British things, The Rest is Entertainment, which has Richard Osman. TV's Richard Osman.
Large Doctor Who fan, Richard Osman, I believe, too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how big a Doctor Who fan he is. He's a very large person.
That's true.
Is he also a big Doctor Who fan or just a large person who likes Doctor Who?
Well, he married a Doctor Who person in Ingrid Oliver.
He did.
So.
He did. That
who
he did.
Who I've interviewed on stage. There's my connection to Richard Osman.
We got it back to Doctor Who. Yeah. That's good. Dan wrote in and said, just a quick note to thank Jason and his various guests for so much great dialogue about media over many years. I look forward to at least a little of this stuff seeping into other outlets, but regardless of how much of that happens or doesn't, Downstream has been an awesome fortnightly listen. Thank you, Dan. And finally, Chris says, thanks, Jason, as a person who has turned away from being online. Interesting.
Wow.
This letter came in via online. I learned so much from this show. Looking forward to your future endeavors. Thank you again. Thanks, Chris. A person who is not online and yet post a letter to a podcast via the web. So I don't want to know, Chris. I don't actually want to know. I love turning away from being online as a concept left to all of us to ponder.
It's great. I mean,
digital cleanse that's going on there.
Right. Now, I mean, not to talk about my podcast, but Radio Free Scaro.
Please do.
We've been covering
.com.
We've been covering Doctor Who. This is our 20th year of covering it. And you know, even when they're not making a show, which they are currently not doing for the first time in decades.
Yes. Thanks, streaming industry.
Yes. We, you know, there's still so much Doctor Who news to talk about. And because of the sort of the social media explosion and implosion, let's face it, a lot of people, like, you know, when Twitter went the way it went, some people moved to other places, but a lot of people just stopped paying attention to social media. And in that instance, I sort of thought, you know what, it's actually important for us to cover some new stuff each week on the podcast, because oftentimes people will learn about these things on podcasts. It kind of takes me back to the early days of podcasts before social media, where the podcast was the main place where you might have learned about such things. And then social media came, and then it kind of went away a little bit. And so now podcasts have become this sort of important thing. So it's good that someone asked about what other places you could go to listen for news and notes about the entertainment industry now that Downstream's going away.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the truth is, there's a lot of, like, a lot of the industry stuff is now all owned by the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Variety, Hollywood Reporter, Deadline, right? That's all Penske Media now. And it's always been like it's a company town, and there's like company control. So I like it, having independent, whether it's journalists or fans or whatever, like independent voices that are talking about what's really going on, because you don't otherwise necessarily know what's going on. So thanks to everybody who wrote in, and thanks to everybody who didn't write in, but I love that I got to read some letters. Although only one Love to Your Mothers and only one area code, but that's fine. Next podcast we do, we'll put that in there.
The actual show will be called Love to Your Mothers, perhaps.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
We'll just bring back TV Talk Machine for like a ninth time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So in wrapping up, so yeah, like I said before, I had to stop for personal reasons for professional reasons. Like there's other work I need to do. And as an independent content creator, I have to make tough decisions. I have to choose where, like my good friend, Stephen Hackett, stopped doing Mac Power Users podcast this year. And like, he liked doing that podcast, but it was a lot of work and he had another opportunity and he had to make a tough decision. Right. And when he and I stopped doing the Liftoff podcast, It was a tough, but kind of a similar kind of professional decision. Like when you're one person, you can't make more time. You literally just can't make more time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a choice. But I have incredible gratitude to the listeners of this show, especially the members who supported it, but really everybody. Believe me, without your support, this show would have definitely ended the day that Julia took her job at ESPN, right? Like that. It would have been over by then, if not before then. That support kept me going, literally kept the show going. So thank you to everybody who listened, and especially the people who became Downstream Plus subscribers. Really appreciate it. I have loved getting your Downstream feedback messages and posts about Downstream over at the Relay Discord. I have loved talking to the incredibly smart people who've come on this podcast to talk about a topic that I do love. Julia Alexander, of course, is the reason this podcast existed. I am so glad to see her go from writing at various Vox media sites to building an entire career out of this, including as a part of her job now, doing a media podcast, which is called The Grill Room, that she does with Dylan Byers. If you don't know, you can hear Julia over there at a different podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Adalian, so great, so generous with his time. I've been reading Will Carroll stuff so long from back in the baseball prospectus days. And it's so awesome that he and I have gotten to become colleagues and friends over the years. And everybody else who has appeared here and elsewhere in other kind of like related things, talking TV with me. I'm so glad to have had the opportunity to talk about TV, a subject that I've always loved since I was a little kid. True story, my parents' story of when they knew that I could read is that I picked up the TV guide and read log lines out of the TV guide. My mom said he can read, and my dad didn't believe it, and she handed me the TV guide, and I read the TV guide at like 2.5 or something. So TV, I'm sorry, I am one of those kids whose brain was fried by television in the 1970s. That's just how it is. Yes, an hour of Star Trek beamed into my brain every night at 5 o'clock for like my entire childhood.
Mm.
So what a privilege to be able to talk about it and have other people want to listen to it is just baffling. So thanks, yes, over the years to people like Tim Goodman, of course, who I read for years and years and years and was a fan of his podcast and then occasionally like called into his podcast and then guested on his podcast and then kind of like tried to keep it alive and breathed on the embers and finally brought it back, all because I really just wanted Tim to keep talking on podcasts. I got to talk to Alan Sepinwall last year. I've been reading him for more than a decade, probably yep. 2 decades. It was so great to have him on as a special guest. We had Natalie Jarvie on here, I think maybe once, but she was also on Download all the time. She used to work at The Hollywood Reporter, super smart writer about media, and everybody else who ever appeared on the show. And especially Stephen Schepansky, our editor, and the man who lives in Sports Corner. Thank you. Oh, what a relief. And again, of course, a podcast without listeners is just a couple of people shouting into the void. So thank you to everyone who listened and cared about Downstream. You can find me at sixcolors.com. All my podcasts are listed at sixcolors.com/Jason. I appear on many other podcasts. I had somebody ask me the other day, what's your podcast? And I was like, there is not one.
No.
There are many. I appear on many other podcasts at Relay and over at theincomparable.com. You can find Stephen Schepansky at radiofreescaro.com. Is that your primary place people should engage with you?
Definitely.
You do Lazy Doctor Who on The Incomparable sometimes.
That's true.
You produce the game show on The Incomparable.
Also true.
So there are places. You can find him.
Yep.
He's not hiding. He's out there. He's not hiding in Sports Corner.
Never.
Well, it makes me feel good. We're going to go out on a high note. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Downstream. There is no next time. Goodbye.